Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yeah. Sounds impressive.
I asked for a fanfare. I had to provide it myself.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I could have got my kazoo.
Yep. Next week, maybe. Anyway, welcome. It's another Confessions podcast. That's what this is. The place where you come to judge other people, which, let's face it, you do anyway, all the way through every single day. I judge you. I judge you.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
I judge you on the way you look. I judge you on the way you sound. I judge you on your clothes.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. Sister Susie's in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew's in the gutter.
Yeah.
Sister Holly is floating above us all in a serene way because she's sort of establishing her control over everything.
Mm-hmm. That is me.
Okay. So we're going to go to the parish notice board and catch up with your correspondence on the parish notice board, which is why it's called the parish notice board.
It is called
feature.
That. Makes sense. Say that again.
Also, the confessions that are too rude for the radio, they're not on the parish notice board. It's just the things that are for the notice board that get put on the PNB, as it's referred to.
Okay. PNB. I'm already lost, but yeah. Whatever.
PNB. Yeah.
PNB.
The
Punba? The Punba.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
And a Marmite.
This is random.
Marmalade.
Do you know Ben Whishaw doesn't like marmalade?
He doesn't like marmalade. No. The voice of Paddington doesn't like marmalade.
He only likes Marmite on toast, which is why I mention it.
Oh, right. Okay. I make my own marmalade. Just a fun fact there.
Oh. I buy mine, which is going to be better.
I don't think it is.
I always use Stokes marmalade.
Stokes marmalade. I use Matt's marmalade. A little twist of whiskey in the marmalade.
Okay.
Why does there always have to be alcohol involved with
a little twist of it.
Matt.
Gets you going in the morning.
Anyway, you'll also get to hear this week's confessions from the show. That's Drive Time on Greatest Hits Radio, by the way, 4 till 7, Monday to Friday. This week, Thomas and his chemistry confession. He blinded me with science. Science. Steve's sickly story, 666, the number of the beast. Martin's confession, big mouth strikes again. But first, we head on a work week away with all our colleagues. 50b pints on offer. Anyway, it's Christopher's confession, a very big house in the country.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Good evening, Christopher. Dear Brother Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, the rest of the congregation, my confession goes way back to the early 90s. I'd like to keep my own name a secret. Let's say it's Christopher. The reason being is that I still work for the same company, a bank.
I've now had
36 years working for the bank. I would like to stay working for a few years more. So back to the early 90s, I joined said High Street Bank in 1988 and had worked all the basic jobs that they give to the new entrants for a couple of years. I then started to progress a little through the ranks. Now, this bank had acquired, about 20 years previously, a lovely stately home in the countryside, which it used as a base to train all its upcoming stars of the future. Staff would normally go there for a week, stay in plush bedrooms and learn about our next roles or some technical banking skills, that kind of thing. A good 300 or so bank staff would attend each week. I was chosen to go on a management course. This place had a 9-hole golf course, snooker rooms, pool tables, 50p pints.
Wow.
Even in the early 90s, 50p for a pint was a superb concession. Wow. More importantly, there was an outbuilding that housed an indoor swimming pool and some squash courts. On my course that week, there was probably a 50-50 split between young 20-something males and females. And as often can happen, the lads formed a close bond together and the ladies likewise. And for 2 days, solid, us lads were taunted for not being as clever, to be honest, they were correct, by the women who said their intellect was far superior to ours. And every time we got a question wrong in a class, they would laugh out loud or roll their eyes at us.
bit mean.
Well, we got to the Wednesday that week, and after our course had ended for the day at around 5 p.m, about four or five of us lads decided to go over to the squash courts and have a few games. On our walk back from the building to the main house, it was about 300 yards, we met some of the girls from our course, and they told us they were going for a swim, and they might see us later at the staff bar. Well, we let them go on their way, and we carried on walking back to the main house, and at that point, one of the lads with us said, "Here, wait here, I've just got to get something." He ran in, it did sound like that. Yes. He ran in and he came back to us with a gorilla mask. To this day, I still do not know why he brought mask to the course, but it was a full-on gorilla mask. "Let's have a laugh and get them girls back," he said. It was late autumn of that year and the sun had just set and the grounds were getting swathed in that autumnal, twilighty darkness. We crept up to the pool complex and the lad put on his gorilla mask. The pool had a fogged privacy glass up to about head height. We could hear the girls chatting in the pool, but we couldn't see over the privacy glass. The lad with the gorilla mask got on my shoulders and I raised him up so just his head could be seen by the girls. The rest of us banged on the glass and made the best gorilla noises ever, and then promptly ran off back to the main house laughing and giggling. Well, half an hour or so later, we were at the evening meal, but none of the girls from the pool had turned up. A few of the others on our course said that they thought maybe they'd gone down to the pub in the village, so we just presumed that that's where they'd all gone. After the meal, we went to the staff common room to see how many 50p pints we could have before the bar staff and the bank tutors closed it all up at 11. They sent us off to our rooms. Well, we were having a decent night playing snooker and having a laugh, but at around 9:30, the chat and laughter in the staff common room was brought to an abrupt halt when about 6 or 7 policemen walked in, some with guns.
What?
Started talking to all the staff in the room, accompanied by a group of rather worried-looking tutors. When they eventually got around to talking to us, they asked if we'd seen an escaped gorilla from Chipperfield Circus around the grounds.
What?
It was at this point the tutors told us that Chipperfield Circus paid rent to the bank to house their animals and equipment over the winter on the grounds, about a mile to the north of the stately home that was our staff college. Apparently the girls had seen a gorilla when they were in the pool and had been too scared to get out of the pool. They had stayed in there for 2 hours until one of them was brave enough to run out of the pool, run down the corridor, past the squash courts and pick up the phone to get put through to reception. Remember, there are no mobile phones. They told reception the gorilla was lurking around the pool house and they daren't leave. Reception then called the police. The police put 2 and 2 together and came up with 5. They'd presumed that the gorilla had escaped from the circus.
Oh, come on.
We all looked at each other, concealing a mixture of guilt, laughter, and overwhelmingly thought, we got the girls back good and proper. And of course, it said that we hadn't seen a thing. Well, suffice it to say, the drinking and snooker playing ended abruptly that night, and we were all sent to our rooms for our own safety and told to keep our doors shut. We woke the next morning to hear that the traumatised girls had gone home early, and because of that, our course was cancelled, and were told that we'd have to go home too. Not only that, but because of the gorilla, there were still police marksmen on the ground because he hadn't been found. The whole college had to be shut down for a week.
Wow!
And some 300 trainee managers, cashiers, account openers, lending officers all had to be sent home early as well. To this day, we had sworn to keep the gorilla mask incident to ourselves for fear of our careers being affected. But about 30 years of built-up guilt has got me to this place, and I seek forgiveness from the girls we all took part in scaring and the living daylights out of, forgiveness from the staff and tutors who I am presuming were on edge for quite a few weeks afterwards, and obviously from the police for wasting their time. But more importantly, from the 300-odd bank trainees who had their course abruptly cancelled, and that could well have affected their career. Well, let's check in with the verdict on that one. A shocking gorilla confession. Christopher needs the forgiveness from Sister Susie, first of all.
Well, Christopher, I really feel for him here, because I feel like, you know, how did you know all this was going to happen? You just didn't know that, did you? It's just not like, oh. And also, did they not check that the gorilla was still at the circus? I feel like they could have done that
could
as well.
Called the circus, yes.
I just feel like I kind of am on your side a little bit here, but then I feel like I don't like pranks and it was a bit silly. And just because the girls were better than you at the quizzes and the questions, then I just feel like you didn't need to do it. So for that reason, I'm not going to forgive.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to forgive. I mean, yes, obviously, a bit of a prank and all of that got out a little out of hand. But as you say, was no one calling up the circus and saying, how many gorillas have you got? Have you still got the same number of gorillas? In that case, we don't need the marksman. Also, these girls that were so good at the quiz couldn't tell that that wasn't a real gorilla. I mean, a little bit thick. But as we go into the music,
yes.
I think that means I choose to forgive.
Thank you very much indeed.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
There aren't many confessions that we can use which involve armed policemen.
No, seldom that those get through. But that one did. It was a very good one.
Yes.
That, yeah.
Before we head back to the confessional booth, it's time to catch up with the new bits and pieces on the parish notice board.
Yes, I have this email from Rachel and Adam to Father Simon, Sister Susie, Sister Holly, and the ever forgiving brother from the gutter, Matt. We've recently introduced our 11-year-old son, Oliver, to the Confessions podcast, and as well as eagerly awaiting the new release each Friday, he's also worked his way through the back catalogue many times. And we regularly hear the sultry tones of Father Simon's many and varied accents drifting out of his room.
Hello, Oliver.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to the podcast, we now listen to Mark Knopfler music, have had Butterscotch Angel Delight for dessert, without stewed apple, quite right, and are regularly treated to see them live, dropped into conversations. Very good. We would like to shamelessly ask for a mug or any other tat from the tap cupboard for him. We haven't told him we are emailing in, so it will be a complete surprise if this is read out, and he will then be eagerly watching for the postman for the next few weeks. Many thanks, Rachel and Adam.
Okay, well, first of all, stewed apple should go with Butterscotch Angel Delight.
I don't think anyone else thinks that.
No.
Have you tried it? No, you haven't. Okay, no. So actually, your opinion is therefore
stewed
not...
Stewed apple is one of those things I'm just not going to try.
Valid.
No.
Because do you have it in an apple pie?
Yeah,
that's
a bit
stewed apple.
It's a bit healthy though, isn't it? Stewed apple.
No, it's got loads of sugar in it.
Who said anything about that? I'm just saying... What, Butterscotch Angel Delight is a healthy option,
yes.
Is it? And there's no sugar.
Part of your five a day, right there.
Anyway, hello to Oliver, and thank you, Rachel and Adam, for bringing up Oliver in such an impeccable
way. Quite right.
Yeah, well done.
We also have an update from Andrew Dixon, whose review featured on last week's podcast. Andrew says, I've just listened to the Confessions podcast and realised my 5-star review was actually read out.
Yeah.
Part of my review said that my wife didn't like the podcast. In fact, what I meant was... She didn't like it. She loved it.
Well, how did that...
That was not clear.
No, definitely. You missed
changed.
That word out.
Yes.
Yeah. Or just maybe you missed a couple of words out.
I hope this correction
when he was writing
will
his review.
Get me a bit of tat from the cupboard.
No.
P.S. To help you decide, Simon's humour is great. Matt's really funny. Susie has class living in Bristol. Nothing about Holly. Sorry,
yeah.
Holly.
No, nothing about Holly.
Disappointing.
The very person who has the authority to give out the tat.
That's right. She's in charge of the tat. Andrew, you're not getting that.
Oh,
plus, also... I don't actually believe you because I think...
I believe him.
I think, how can you miss out that crucial
bit? Yeah. Yeah, no, not convinced.
No. Maybe he got distracted as he was writing his review.
Maybe write another grovelling review. Think about that, Andrew.
Anyway, Andrew, thank you very much indeed. And I'm very glad also that your wife loves the podcast.
Yes. Quite right.
Miraculously, suddenly in the last couple of days.
When you want something
a conversion.
Free.
Conversion, fantastic. Yeah. What have you got, Suze?
I've also got a request for tap, but this is from an email for Jackie, and she said, Dear Simon, with utter joy, my husband explained, it's back, the podcast. Too long absent friend from our long car journeys. Upon listening, I heard you invite requests for the tat cupboard, and I immediately thought how delighted he would be to receive some of your unwanted tat. I will keep this as his Christmas present to go along with his Muppet socks.
Cheapskate.
Expectations are low post-kids, where most of the money goes at Christmas, and indeed the other 11 months of the year. So if you can find it in your heart to send any confession-related tat our way, we are likely to see what I've referred to over the years as the upgrade face. It only comes out very rare occasions when reality far exceeds expectation. If you've got this far, thank you very much. Yours hopefully, Jackie. And she also says, P.S., I'm happy to pay for postage. So
I think we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can cover that.
I like
bit
the idea
ruin the surprise though now. Maybe you won't get the upgrade face.
I like an upgrade face.
So an upgrade face is his
what
smile, is it?
Is that
what
is it like? Is it the kind of You've been upgraded to business class from economy.
Oh, I see.
And that kind
yeah.
of
thing. Oh. You've opened the present and it's better than what you thought it was.
Nice surprise.
Because
face.
Most people, yeah. I think, once you get beyond the age of 14, most presents are disappointing.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
don't think
yeah.
so.
I think
so.
I think you're hoping for hoping for a really, really lovely thing and it's a cabbage. I mean,
or
a giant Twix.
Giant Twix. Imagine that,
you
giant Twix.
I was a giant Twix.
Oh, not giant for a present. Twix. I buy that for myself. I don't want it as a present.
If someone buys me a present of a giant Twix, I'm going to be very happy. I like a giant
like how
Twix.
How giant?
Well, it would be obviously as big as... 6 foot. As, well,
as big
like
as a
table.
Toblerone from an airport.
Yeah, 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 exactly. If someone, excellent. Wow, imagine that. Giant Twix size of a
imagine
Toblerone from
an
airport.
Imagine one finger of Twix that's the same size as that huge hefty Toblerone. That would be
yeah.
good.
Oh, those
yes,
would
please.
Be.
Get your gob on
come
that.
Come on, Cadbury's or whoever makes Twix.
Mars.
Mars. Yeah, Mars, there you go. There you go. Well done there, Holly.
Eddie. Thanks, Grandad.
Yep. Yep. Carry on. Yep.
Send anything, yep. please, to Confessions of Grace 6 Radio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Markyboy 2305, a bot.
Yep.
Peter D. Possibly Doherty, it could be Doherty.
Yeah.
Dratsom, Mr. Payney, or Payney, Mr. Payney. Lightbound, Nick, a sensible name. Michael
yes.
Patterson, sensible name and sensible second name.
Correct.
And Oggy. Okay.
Not, yeah.
Who were amongst those who tweeted, threaded, or blue-skied the last code phrase, which was, of course, Goose Ghost. Can't remember why.
It was Holly, Goose
yeah,
Ghost.
Confession.
Yeah.
The goose that was dead,
oh, yeah.
and then it honked,
so it that's
came
right.
back from the dead.
If you jump on a goose yeah. that's dead.
Goose Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, that's very good. So thank you for that. Matt will have a new code word at the end of this here podcast.
Indeed.
Now it's time to head to the Mark Knopfler section as we go to the section of Confessions, which are two CD, two Gross. Although, to be honest, we've stretched this a little bit because CD and Gross gets you on air now.
It does.
Although illegality is slightly problematic, so we haven't yet been able to bend the rules on...
We're definitely not doing it for illegality, are we? Not with the lawyers round the corner.
No, although I'm aware of the fact that stealing magnesium is probably...
I don't
illegal.
Think that,
I disagree with that one. I don't think we should have put that one on the air.
Back in the day, 40 years ago, everyone was stealing magnesium.
Yeah!
We all know that pranks are... So this is aimed at Jerry. Okay, so we're going to start with you, Jerry. We all know that pranks are borderline anyway. In fact, we all groan when someone says, here's a prank. Mm. But when that prank is basically you and your mates jumping on the odd guy at work pretending to mug him...
What?
Yes.
No, yeah. no, not getting on. Sorry, Jerry.
Nope.
Not getting on.
Yes, not quite sure we like the cut of your jib.
No, Jerry. Even though you're in the good life. Margot and Jerry. Were they?
Do they say things like that in the sailing set that you mix with?
Yes. Yes, they do, don't they?
I don't like the cut of your jib because the jib is obviously
on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Do they say that?
Bring
kind
that
of thing?
Up in Chiswick.
All the time. Yep. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
I'm there.
You and Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
Jaunty.
This next one is for Roger. Underage drinking is instantly in the not-for-broadcast pile, but blaming the dog for the destruction of the house after a party and for the pile of sick left in the corner,
no, please.
Which you then let him eat.
Oh!
Let who eat? The dog?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
A rather large carrot from
what?
Said sick got a bit stuck in the dog's throat.
Oh, please.
It's led the dog.
No.
To being sick again and then trying to eat that again.
Oh, circle of life, though, I suppose. There it is.
Mention of sick dominoes before on the pod.
Oh,
it seems, Roger, you've just continued the game.
Goodness. No, no.
But we do not approve
that's not getting on. Not
or
getting
laugh
on.
At such
no, we
depravity.
Don't
that's
that
horrendous.
Yep, 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 yep. Agreed.
If you've got a large carrot, it should be treated with respect and eaten not quite fully cooked. But slightly crisp with some mayonnaise.
Really?
What? Not humus.
I've never tried this.
What?
Not humus?
Hummus.
Hummus, you mean?
Isn't it humus?
No.
I say humus.
You're kidding now.
No,
you, what? You say humus?
Yeah, humus.
Humus?
Yes.
I've literally never heard
that's
anyone
like
say
posthumous.
Posthumous.
Yes.
Posthumous.
Did you know?
an award after you've had hummus.
Did you have a good selection of humus snacks before the meal? I am now posthumous.
Posthumous.
Is that what your family say?
Yeah, I say it. And my boyfriend also says it. And that was before, like, you know, we properly...
Is this a posh thing, is it?
It must be a posh thing.
Humus? That's insane.
It is. Also incorrect.
Is it?
Humus? It's obvious it is incorrect. It's definitely hummus.
100% it's hummus.
Here's the thing. If you also say humus, then get in touch. And then write to confessions@greatestitsradio.co.uk.
Yes.
And we can back Holly up
for her
mispronunciation.
Quite right. All you humus people, do that.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
I like this. And you suddenly find out that some people pronounce it differently to yourself.
Yes.
And we are a broad church.
We are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are we to judge?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we are on this feature.
We do judge.
Apart from that. Yes. That's so good.
Anyway, where were we? Yes, get back to the confession booth now with Steve's confession. 666, the number of the beast.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Steve, a daily listener of the show in Piraçaba in Brazil. Thank you for listening from Brazil. If you have any other listeners in Brazil, please get in touch. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. This takes place in 1986, back when I was 15 and a mere fourth year, year 10 in modern money, in my hometown. My mother, through her work contacts, had arranged for me and as many of my school friends to go and watch the live wrestling every Wednesday at the White Rock Theatre on the seafront. Names such as Kendo Nagasaki, Klondike Kate, and even the occasional superstars of the day such as Big Daddy or Giant Haystacks were great fan favourites, especially to me and the 5 to 8 friends, a bit vague, who would... 5 or 8, what is it? 6?
One of those.
Would crash in almost ringside for free each week. As we all lived in various parts of this town, we would all meet up at our friend Jonathan's house as he lived closest to the theatre so we could walk together. And it's here where I start my confession, an absolute tussle of light and dark forces for which I seek absolution. You see, I was then, as I am today, a big fan of the unholy trinity of Whitesnake, Deep Purple, and Iron Maiden.
Oh, yes.
On this particular night, I was proudly wearing my new purchase of an official Iron Maiden Number of the Beast t-shirt. Oh. It was black, of course, with Eddie manipulating the devil like a malevolent puppet master. You've probably got one
of those, haven't you? Absolutely.
That night, as I walked to Jonathan's house, I left on my own and my mind was blank, and so was my stomach. And so I went to the local shop and got a king-size Mars bar. And I ate it like any teenager would, inhaling the chocolatey nougat and toffee goodness, barely chewing it at all. Happy was I as I knocked on Jonathan's door, a belly full of candy and a new t-shirt and the promise of a good night's wrestling ahead. Little did I know that I would have to go through a little wrestling of the spiritual kind before leaving Jonathan's house. You see, unbeknownst to me, Jonathan's family were extremely religious and very active members of the local church. On opening the door and taking one look at my Iron Maiden t-shirt, Jonathan quickly pulled me through into the kitchen where some of our friends had already gathered, and he shut the door. "What are you wearing?" he said with panic in his voice. "It's my new t-shirt. It's good, isn't it?" "Good? You can't wear it in this house. If my mum sees it, she'll blow a fit. Iron Maiden of the Devil's Band, and you'll be seen as the agent of Satan." "Stay in the kitchen and don't go out until everyone arrives, okay?" Jonathan did that most English of things to calm everyone down, and he put the kettle on to have a cup of tea. So there we were, sipping on our hot tea, when suddenly the kitchen door bursts open and in walks Jonathan's mum. Immediately, her eyes caught sight of my t-shirt and her whole face took on the expression of Carrie's mother seeing her in the prom dress. Her face was turning through shades of red and purple as waves of righteous anger writhed through her very soul. Through tightened lips, she seethed, "Jonathan, I really must speak with you." And so it began. You see, this is the problem. I got the giggles. The only thing was, I also had a mouthful of tea, which I was in the process of swallowing, and it was now stuck in my throat. Jonathan's mum saw me, and in her eyes, all she saw was a teenager in a devil t-shirt starting to convulse. With more urgency, she said, "Jonathan, I really must talk with you now." And this set my giggling and convulsions even stronger. Only now, the unswallowed tea in my throat had started to trigger my gag reflex. I think I'm going to be sick, I thought. The thought of throwing up in front of his mum and adding to my giggle and convulsions, which were now causing my whole body to move and jerk around uncontrollably. Clearly proof that I was possessed.
Yep.
Jonathan, in the meantime, was caught between looking at me convulse and his mum turning purple with rage and was doing one of those comic indecisive moves back and forth. Jonathan, I must talk with you now outside.
What a voice.
Says his mum. That was too much for me, and the tea in my throat had done its thing, and there was nothing for it now but for me to perform like Linda Blair style in the Exorcist movie, which obviously I hadn't seen at the time. Imagine the scene. Imagine the look of utter disbelief on Jonathan's face. Imagine the sheer terror and rage on the face of his poor mother. Imagine the look of delight on the faces of our friends and the extreme sheer pandemonium that they were witnessing. Yes, we cleaned up the mess, and fortunately my T-shirt and the rest of me was left unscathed from the events that had transpired. I've taken quite a lot out of this.
I bet you have. Yeah.
And after a quiet admonishing from his mother and a stern banishment from our house, never ever come back again, we did eventually leave and enjoy a great evening of wrestling. So Father Simon, Sister Susie, brothers Nigel and Matt and Holly, it is time for me to ask forgiveness. Not from Jonathan, for he was the provider of the tea. Not from our friends, for it provided a story of such legend it was told and retold throughout the rest of the fourth form. Not even from Jonathan's poor mama, who did, as a good Christian woman, fully forgive my folly. No, Father Simon, I ask forgiveness from Iron Maiden, Bruce, Steve, Adrian, Dave and Clive, who was replaced by Nico. For, as I said, it was the mid-80s and the height of heavy metal, satanic panic in the USA courts and rock media, with legendary heroes such as The Maiden being blamed for corrupting the youth of today and the devils and evils of the world. I ask for their forgiveness, as I am certain that my little demonstration did nothing to calm the situation or alleviate the concern. That is why I now live in Brazil, and I'm going to...
What? That's the reason I live in Brazil?
Yes, he's had to leave the country, and I'm going to see Iron Maiden in Sao Paulo in December as a pilgrimage of repentance. Thank you, Father Simon. So you see, the vomit was caused by a convulsion, and it was not possession of the devil.
No,
it was tea plus Mars bar. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, I don't know. I just don't like sick, really, Steve, if I'm being completely honest. Like, you shouldn't scoff a chocolate bar that fast, that there's the possibility that it might come back up. That's never a good place to be in. I also think that you should have probably considered, you must have known Jonathan's family were quite strict and religious, and maybe going in there with an Iron Maiden t-shirt wasn't the best in the first place. And I think you were just trying to stir the pot and cause trouble. And for that reason, I will not forgive.
Brother Matthew from
I would agree, he probably was trying to stir the pot there, wasn't he? But Jonathan's mum, it's only a band, Jonathan's mum, you know, come on, do calm down. So I'm going to forgive because, you know, it's Iron Maiden and I'm going to see them on that same tour next year. So I'm looking forward to that already. And it was all going fine, wasn't it? And given there were all that tea around, it was clearly a case of bring your saucer to the slaughter. So for that reason,
dear.
I'm going to forgive. Wow.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
That was a terrible pun.
That was the best. Bring your saucer to the slaughter.
Steve actually got back in touch to say my impression of Jonathan's mum was spot on. Lots of forgiveness on the people's verdict, including this one.
And Mike offers absolute absolution and forgiveness. As a Christian and a rock fan, I remember well slipping some Deep Purple riffs into the latest charismatic bop. No problem, because after all, God gave rock and roll to you.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Is.
Still to come on the Confessions. Thank you very much indeed for all that. That's still to come. Do not try any of Thomas's chemistry confession. He blinded me with science. Because it clearly is from very different times when no one cared about burning magnesium ribbon.
No. Take it home, kids.
But first, it's going to be Martin's confession. Big Mouth strikes again.
Shh. He won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Martin says, my confession relates... You're going to have to help us out on this one, Suze, because it's a bit of a pub-based confession.
Okay.
My confession relates to a time when I was... the licensee of a pub in the Isle of Man. It's late, 1980. We had a great bunch of regulars and a fine pool team who used to practice keenly all week, lubricated by copious amounts of beer, which seemed to improve the accuracy of their shots. How does that happen?
Never.
We had an elderly local called Yorkie, who had appointed himself as an unofficial glass collector and ashtray emptier, different times.
Yeah.
And he used to shuffle around the tables, clearing glasses, bottles, and other pub-related detritus, which was fair enough. But Yorkie also had a habit of minesweeping pints that were still on the go. Now, minesweeping, what's that?
Yeah, so generally, if someone leaves a glass unattended, most of the time it's because they've left and they either didn't want the drink or they rushed off or they'd had a bit too much and then someone would come along and snaffle it for themselves and finish it off, which is quite grim, really.
Okay, so it's drinking someone else's drink. Okay.
Yeah.
So Yorkie had a habit of minesweeping pints that were still on the go. That's the crucial thing.
People hadn't
left them. Craftily smuggling them through to the quieter snug where he could swig his ill-gotten gains while puffing away on his pipe. Again, different times. Mm-hmm. Lager, stout, mild, heavy, Foster's, Castlemaine, Tennent's, you name it, he swept it.
All of them. Wow.
Anyway, this practice was starting to grate with some of the pool team lads, and they plotted their revenge on Yorkie, who was also known as the Ghoul. The Ghoul from Ghoul. The Ghoul from Ghoul.
Oh, right.
It works better on the page.
Yeah, it probably does.
Mm-hmm. At that time, there was a newly launched Irish stout, Murphy's from Cork.
Oh, yeah.
It was doing the rounds, and it was proving very popular with the regulars. So it was arranged that on the next home pool match, a nearly full pint of the jet black creamy brew was strategically placed on the table nearest to the snug as bait. And sure enough, having clocked it, Yorkie circled a couple of times like a hungry shark and eventually snaffled the pint out of sight in a swift movement with everyone that was in on the plot looking knowingly at each other, waiting patiently for the imminent reaction. We had to wait because he also had some Carling Black Label that he'd stolen, also some Tuborg.
Tuborg, wow.
To knock back. Remember that?
Yeah.
Sure enough, after a couple of minutes, a blood-curdling scream went up, and we heard the screech. This is a customary Isle of Man phrase. Oh, you wretched blighters.
Yeah.
We've changed that slightly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, whilst he was draining the remains of the delicious stout, something had floated towards his open gob.
Oh.
And that thing was the severed head of a herring.
Oh, what?
Eyes open.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Mouth gaping.
Oh, it would have been so fishy.
Innards trailing slightly. Which had been lurking unseen in the depths of the black brew, slid down the glass towards his mouth, stopping just short of his lips. Maybe they just touched. Yorkie, who is sadly no longer with us, was clearly shaken by the episode, but a lot more careful about which drinks he cleared away after what became known as Fishgate. But I still feel pangs of guilt to this day for not intervening and allowing the cruel act to take place, and seek forgiveness, Simon, from your kind and understanding colleagues. Thanks again for putting the team back together and making so many people happy. Well, it's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks very much indeed, Martin. A tale of minesweeping and the severed head of a herring. Sister Susie.
Well, do you know, I don't like Yorkie at all. I think it's disgusting that he'd go round and steal people's drinks. You know, beer, even in those days, cost people's hard-earned cash spending on them, and you don't want, you know, if you haven't finished with it, no one can steal it.
He's dead.
He is dead. It must have tasted fishy as well when he was drinking that.
Yes, you'd have thought but, so, wouldn't you?
Martin, do you know what? You're another publican, and for that reason alone, I'm going to forgive you.
Okay. Brother Matthew.
I mean, dead or not, Yorkie had it coming, didn't he? The ghoul, it was all coming his way. I shouldn't have been doing your mind sweeping. And this is the kind of thing, it would only work, wouldn't it? The fish head in the pint with stout. It would only work with a
lager.
Absolutely. Couldn't have got that in Castlemaine. So yes, I'm going to forgive. Yes, quite right. Shouldn't have been doing it, should you, Yorkie?
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Can I just say right at the very beginning, please do not try any of this at home.
It's one of those.
Do not try any of this at home, because this is from back in the day.
Right. Mm.
Thank you for your wonderful show, says Thomas. I've heard many confessions and they always make me think of a sorry incident which dates back to my teenage school days, well over 40 years ago now. I'm afraid to say it's a sad account of thievery and trickery that I'm quite ashamed of and have kept close to my chest for the whole period of this time. During my school days, I did enjoy playing a few tricks and japes on my friends and family and teachers. One particular stemmed from a particularly interesting chemistry lesson by our teacher, who was teaching us the properties of magnesium. Mm. He was a good teacher, always made chemistry lessons fascinating. In this lesson, he showed us what happened when you set fire to magnesium, the brilliant white light it emitted, and how to capture the gases that had been released during this violent reaction. It was excellent, and it was a fun lesson. Once he'd finished his demonstration, he told us to queue up at the front of the class so we could replicate the experiment. He instructed us to cut 10 centimetres of magnesium ribbon from the big reel that he had, and then take it back to our workbenches. When it was my turn to cut off a piece of the reel, Mr. Ricks was distracted, so I cut off a metre.
What?
By mistake, and slipped it into my pocket before cutting off another 10 centimetres for the experiment. Well, when school finished for the day, I rushed home with a metre of pure metal excitement hidden in my bag. Dear. That evening, as I sat with my parents watching one of the three TV channels that were available back then, I pondered what I could do with the remaining magnesium. Nothing was really coming to mind. At this point, I should mention that my dad was an actor and often away from home. When he did come back, he would always stamp his authority. He wasn't a bad father, but would always expect my brother and me to wait on him and my mother to prepare his food. Then he would sit there in his armchair and chain smoke for the rest of the evening. If he wanted the channel changed, it would fall to me or my brother to get up and change the channel. No remote controls back then. His house, his rules. As you can imagine, it was really annoying, and my brother and me were always planning ways to get our own back, but we never took any action. He was an ex-boxer, and you didn't want to mess with him. As I sat there, passive smoking, with about half a metre of magnesium in my pocket, I thought of a way of taking revenge. Now, smoking was a cheap habit back then, so my dad would always have a few spare packs of cigarettes lying around. One was always left in the front room on his armchair. The next day, while he was out, I cut several centimetres of magnesium, took a cigarette out of that pack and carefully pushed it deep into the tobacco before hiding the cigarette back in the packet. That evening, when my dad came home, he once again turned on the TV and turned the channel over despite our protest, then sat down and started smoking. I sat there transfixed, watching him, waiting for the sudden blaze of magnesium igniting. The first cigarette was smoked without incident, as was the second. I was convinced it would be the third, but still nothing happened. When he lit the fourth cigarette and nothing happened, I was convinced, he's going through a lot of fags, that it wasn't going to happen that evening. Then, as he took a drag on the fifth cigarette, it suddenly exploded with a bright magnesium flare. My dad jumped up in surprise, choking and knocking over his cup of tea and trying to put the cigarette out in the nearest ashtray. In a totally believable exclamation, having an actor as a father has its benefits, I said, "What the hell was that, Dad?" "I don't know," he mumbled as he tried to put out the fire that had started in his nostril hairs. He rushed off to the bathroom and I could hear him splashing water on his face. When he returned, he examined the remains of the cigarette. All traces of the magnesium had disappeared, so he couldn't work out what had happened. He angrily questioned whether I had anything to do with it, and I denied all knowledge, some of my best acting ever. He then went and questioned my brother, who didn't have a clue as I hadn't told him. For the rest of the evening, my dad didn't smoke a single cigarette and kept moaning that all he could smell was his singed nose hair. He kept looking at the packet with suspicion and eventually became convinced that the packet was faulty. There was only one thing my dad could do. He always enjoyed writing long letters of complaint and venting any anger that he had. For days, he composed a venomous letter of complaint to the tobacco company and sent them a letter with 5 pages in it, enclosing the faulty fags. While we waited for the response, I noticed that he was no longer chain-smoking and was examining every cigarette very carefully before having a smoke. We heard nothing from for several weeks, and then a parcel arrived from the tobacco company. The letter basically said they were very sorry, have 1,000 fags as way of an apology. But to be honest, it's a different era.
Have 1,000 fags.
My dad wasn't impressed. He didn't want them because he changed brands by then. So he took them to his golf club and sold them to a friend. His suspicion of each cigarette continued over the next few months, and then one day he suddenly announced that he was given up smoking as it was becoming too expensive. No mention of his encounter with a nose-burning magnesium was mentioned, and he was true to his word. He packed up that very day and he never smoked again. Now I think I should really apologise to my teacher for stealing the magnesium, my brother for the grilling that he received. Unfortunately, my dad passed away quite a while ago, so I can't apologise to him. I'm sure if he was still around and I confessed to him, he would have taken it as a jolly good laugh. I hope that your listeners will be equally as forgiving and agree that smoking is certainly dangerous to your health and your nose hairs. And maybe, I mean, I think this should be taken into consideration. Thomas actually gave his father a better life because he made him stop smoking. A brief moment, a brief flare-up, and then his life was better because of what Thomas did. Sister Susie, I think, might not agree.
Well, I do see what you mean there, Thomas. You did stop your dad smoking, and you know, I do think that that is a good thing. However, this is just you shouldn't, by accident, you took a metre of magnesium. No, you didn't. You did it on purpose. And that is danger. Danger, danger, high voltage.
Danger, high voltage.
Exactly. And for that reason, I don't think I can forgive.
No, that's the responsible thing. And obviously, don't do any of that at home. Don't play with magnesium.
Obviously not.
Because it's a very dangerous thing.
Danger.
Lots of people with chemistry sets will have done fairly similar things.
Yeah, I think. So.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. That's one of the best confessions we've done for a long time. I mean, I didn't think we could get better after the singed nostril hairs. But then the fag company say, here, have 1,000 fags. No thanks, I've changed brands and I'm off to the golf club to make some money. Brilliant. Oh my goodness, I love that. So yes, definitely forgiven. Well done.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I mean, I'm glad that his father stopped smoking, but that's an amazing brand loyalty. If you've just been sent 1,000 of the fags, which you've been smoking for ages.
Yeah.
No. I've moved on to...
Now that I think they exploded my face.
He can make a nice little buck from it on the side, can't he?
Very well, didn't he? Yeah, very well.
Illicit trade at the golf
course. No, there's a lot of things on that I don't like. But
golf.
And the illicit trade... The cigarettes, kids.
Anyway, it's now over to Brother Matthew for this week's secret code phrase.
The secret code phrase this week is humus, not hummus. Humus and not hummus.
How do you express that from a spelling point of view? It's basically hummus, not hummus.
Alec Douglas humus. So I'm trying to think of Hume. How do you spell humus?
Let's hand it over to...
Yes, to the person who says humus. Yes.
Humus, like... Humor, so it'd be like H-U-M-O-U-S, humor.
Spell it how you wish. It's hummus, not hummus. Was, yeah. Not was.
Yeah.
Or H-E-W. H-E-W-M-U-S. Yeah. H-E-W-M-U-S.
Do that. Okay, so you can tweet me at Simon Mayo on X and Twitter. You can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo, and you can blue sky me at Simon Mayo. Matt's now on Blue Sky, where the cool people
I am.
If you have a confession, we'd love to have it for next week, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Until next week. From Sister Susie. So I'm just losing power.
Batteries are going.
Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
Okay, that was like Cilla Black.
Oh, Cilla Black.
From the Tat Cupboard, Sister Holly.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Very good. And from the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Tarama saluta.
What's that?
So I say tarama saluta.
Tarama saluta.
Is that not how you say it?
No, yeah, exactly, yeah. Is that not how everyone says it? How everyone says it in my house.